The following is a fourth-hand production.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
There's hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always use tarot cards to decide our future. But when we do, they're right over the phone for $1.99 a minute. This is Hysteria 51.
Find out what the ancient tarot has to tell you.
The Empress card. She's pregnant.
No.
Yes, she is.
Is the baby mine?
Sorry, Mark.
She hasn't called you because she's having an affair with your new husband.
No.
No.
Boom. Roasted those turds.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, by way of Colorado. We are your host and lead psychics this week. I am David Flora. He is Brent Hand.
And I'm master of all I survey. Now send me money or your future is doomed.
See, what the hell are you doing?
If these idiots believe fortune tellers, they will have to believe an eternal robot who is also an international sex symbol. So why not milk them for all they're worth?
I love milk, especially with cookies.
Oh, good God. These idiots are the bots. Brent made C-Bot to help produce and research the show. Instead, well, we get that dribble.
You're welcome.
Yes, very welcome. Kyle, the cookie lover, is Conspiracy Bot's lackey, for lack of a better term. He's harmless, so we have that going for us.
For now.
What?
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 Moving on. We have tarot on the docket this week. David, have you ever had a reading before?
Oh, I've had a couple of readings.
Ooh. Now, you're like my go-to for everything in this world. I'm like, hey, have you ever had a tarot reading? No, many. Have you ever had a past life regression? Of course, dumbass. Have you ever had a near-death experience? Daily, my wife chokes me and then resuscitates me.
It's very arousing. You should try sometime, Brent.
I feel like... on the woo-woo world, I'm severely lacking on my resume compared to yours.
I just like to experience things, man. That's how you gain more understanding.
That is very true. Opinion. Also, woo-woo world used to be where Epcot Center is now. I don't know if you know that or not.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. They replaced it with all the different countries.
Yeah. I'm actually lying a little bit. I'm pretending I haven't had one. I had a reading on the show here. So we're talking just tarot this week. We briefly talked tarot and clairvoyance. It was, I think, episode 114. So it's been a couple, like 4 years ago-ish. Oh. And we had people on to do our readings that day. One did a tarot reading and one did just like a psychic reading for us. And it was fun, you know, to listen to it and hear them. And they were very, like, super sweet, super nice, very, very They were also incredibly attractive people. And John's like, I remember John was like, is that one of the prerequisites to do this? Do you have to be attractive? But then I remembered, I've seen the Psychic Friends Network and Miss Cleo. So no, it's not so much that's the case. Anyway, we wanted to go back into tarot and talk about that specifically because it's fun. Why don't you tell us what exactly is tarot?
Well, what better way to describe it than from the good people at tarot.com?
Tarot.com for all your tarot needs. Tarot. We're giving you the entire deck, but you only need the edge.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I don't know. This is like, this to me is like getting your porn from porn.com or something, which I actually don't even know. I'm sure that's a thing. I don't know what it's from.
I'm sure everybody's rolling their eyes and saying, sure, yeah, right. At porn.com. Yeah, right. Yeah, like you're not a you're not one of their gold members.
I would love it if like the agriculture industry like tried to get that domain locked down and they typoed it. And they're like, well, let's just roll with it. So then it's just like pictures of fields of corn. Boy, that was a long joke that did very, not have a payoff.
It was very corny. Right, so, hey, oh, God, it made it worse. Anyway.
Tarot is an ancient divination device, really, I guess you could say, or system that began in 14th century Europe. And traditional tarot decks consist of usually 78 cards. There's a give or take. They're usually between 72 and 78, I think. And that's the major and minor arcana. We'll get into that in a little bit. But depicting symbolic archetypes that allow us to tap into our intuition and gain clarity through tarot card readings. And today, tarot readings remain one of the most popular tools for insight and reflection worldwide.
Clear as mud. So easy. Yeah. I understand now completely. Now, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting thing because, well, in a nutshell, tarot was first known as Trionfi, T-R-I-O-N-F-I. There's a lot of different words that I'm going to butcher in this episode. So, and late as Tarachi or Tarok.
I wonder if it's like Taroki, like Gnocchi.
Taroki, yeah, there you go. Taroki, you're right, yeah.
I don't know.
Taroki or Tarok.
I'm not a big Italian man.
Bopity boopity Taroki. Hey! Oh,
bopity bopity. This is God of the Gods.
Oh, hey, I'm from the boot.
Picture it, Sicily. Yeah. Sorry.
No, they were playing cards, like, you know, just for games. It wasn't all this this occult stuff. You know, now they're the mystic playing cards, but
I love this. Yeah.
That wasn't always the case. They've been used from at least the mid 15th century in various parts of Europe to play games such as you want to take these?
Oh, I'll try.
Got them written out here for us.
It might be Italian Tarocchini, which I guess would be little Tarocchi. the French Tarot and the Austrian Königreifen.
Königreifen?
That's King's Rufen. What? Let's see what Rufen means.
Königreifen.
According to Mr. Google, Rufen is call. So Königreifen would be king call.
Okay. Well, you know, like, you know, I can see that as a card game. That kind of makes sense. Regardless, though, many of these games are still played today using these same decks. And then in the late 18th century, some tarot decks began to be used for divination via tarot readings and cartomancy or taromancy, depending on who you want to ask about it, leading to custom decks developed for specific occult practices and purposes. So they're not just, you know, you're not going and buying your bicycle deck of cards. You're buying one specifically. In fact, the only tarot decks I have are for tarot readings, not for playing games.
Yeah, I haven't actually ever seen one for just gaming. That means call the king.
Call the king.
Not king call. Well, you know,
yeah.
Call the, it makes a little more sense syntactically, but That's what I just found out. Right. I just tracked it down. It's a game. It's a trick-taking game.
The council of everyone's hippie aunts came together and decided they needed a thing that they could latch onto and pretend is a personality.
Oh, man.
Shots fired words at 18th century ninths.
Yeah, I mean, Seabot, that's pretty profound, actually.
I'm telling you. Yeah, but tarotology, taromancy, cartomancy, they've got a lot of different words. Depending on where you go, they'll even tell you that some of it's cultural appropriation from the Romans, so they don't like the use of the word like cartomancy and things like that. But it's been used for hundreds of years now for what it is, so you know we're not going to go down that road. Not unlike common decks of cards, though, tarot has four suits, which vary by region. French suits in Northern Europe, Latin suits in Southern Europe, and German suits in Central Europe.
Argyle suits in Scotland.
Ooh, herringbone if you nasty. Tartan.
Seersucker suits in the South.
Each suit then has 14 cards, 10 pip cards numbering from 1 or ace to 10, and 4 face cards, queen, knight, and the jack, knave, or page. And then in addition, tarot has a separate 21-card trump suit and a single card known as the fool. And this 22-card selection of the tarot deck is known in divinatory circles as the Major Arcana.
Arcana means secrets.
See, you know, he's worthwhile, I swear to God.
Yeah, these guys are on it today.
Like we mentioned, The tarot cards are still used throughout much of the world, specifically Europe, but it's played everywhere, to play conventional card games without occult associations.
Pussies.
I like to think that their kids are playing with it and they don't know what they're doing and they accidentally summon the devil. Just, you know, oops. Oops, I did it again. More importantly, fuck that nonsense. We're here for the aforementioned woo-woo stuff. Let's head to break real quick, David. And when we come back, we're going to talk the history and usage of tarot. And later, I hope you guys are ready. I'll be giving David his very own reading, which I've never done before. And he'll be giving me one. So there is at least a 10% chance we end up cursed for all eternity. Stick around. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Please, Daddy.
Yeah. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, MINTMOBILE.com/ Hysteria, Hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Curse. Tell us, David, if you will, all about tarot.
Well, there are there are a couple different tarot reading types. There's question readings and open readings. And in question readings, you're actually addressing a specific question. Mm-hmm. And this would be, you know, your classic, tell me about my love life. Tell me about my career. How is this going? What should I do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
It's not intended, sadly, to answer specific yes or no questions. they were thinking about this. They thought ahead.
Dear tarot, does this look infected? Shovel up a deal.
Results unclear. Ask again. Most say it also shouldn't be used to make decisions, but instead should be used as a guide to help you make the decision yourself.
Because most of those decisions you make yourself are going to be off of what the tarot cards told you, but, you know, whatever.
The other thing is, and sorry if we address this later, but the other thing I've always heard with tarot is that it doesn't predict the future. It takes a snapshot of your life and what's going on, I guess, metaphysically with you at that moment and says, here are
possible outcomes. Yeah.
So that's another way they weasel out of.
Well, there's free will. Prophecy. Free will and other free will can change things at all times. Even occult nonsense or truths, depending on how you look at this. So, yeah.
You know, for all that the way you ask a question, the way you state it is very important. It's like dealing with a genie, apparently. Mm-hmm.
You get exactly what you asked for. Nothing more.
Yeah.
Nothing less.
I want a penis that touches the ground. Boom, no legs.
You're right. I'd like to live forever, and I got life in prison. Thank you so much.
So, quick rule check for you. Number one, keep your options open. Don't get into the details and too specific, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to find the best level of detail for your question,
mm-hmm.
and you want to focus on yourself, and you got to stay neutral, but be positive.
Deny everything. Lie often. Pass the blame.
What?
Sorry, habit.
Project.
Those are actually, depending on the situation, you can use those too, but maybe not with tarot. Anyway.
Yeah, clip and save. The other type of readings are called open readings, and these mm-hmm. address the larger aspects of your life rather than a specific problem area or question. And these are usually done when you're entering a new phase of life, like, you know, getting married or you're graduating from college or school or something or starting a family. You can somewhat direct the reading if you have a general area you mm-hmm. want to cover, such as, like I said, the career or health. But, you know, that's about as specific as the direction gets. So, like I was saying before, if you wanted to ask about a job, you could ask something like, would this be the right career path for me, or is there anything I should know about taking this particular job? In the open readings, it's like, tell me about my career, the state of my career right now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the difference between the open and the detailed question reading, right? So
yeah. Well, I like to think it's way different than that.
Second
because
Friends Network.
Exactly. And whatever the fuck, they were answering specific questions. Left and right, yeah. Like we had in the beginning
over
there.
The phone.
Over the call me now.
Call me now.
Do you remember those?
Did you ever call one of those places?
No, I didn't. But I do remember got her ass sued. You did.
I didn't call Miss Cleo, but I called. I don't even know if it was a Psychic Friends Network or not. I just know that I was like, I probably was in the eighth grade.
Oh wow. Like, I gotta know to if Jenny likes me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, I want to know if a girl likes me or not, or if, you know, what should I pursue a girl kind of thing in eighth grade? And the person on the phone was like, how old are you? And I was like, you know, however old I was in the eighth grade. And they're like, okay, why don't you call back in a couple of years? And they hung up on me. And I'm like, wow. Jesus, it hurt. It cut deep. And I never pursued the girl.
Why don't you grow up? Because she's never going to love you. What?
That's probably what they meant. Why don't you grow up and stop using a psych
your words. Your words cut to the quick, Cleo.
I was embarrassed.
Call me back in 2 years.
Yeah, call me in 5 years.
She got sued. Remember that? It was a big old scam. They'd hold people on the calls and do all this stuff. Anyway. The earliest evidence of a tarot deck used for cartomancy, or pick your mancy, or whatever.
I love the mancy in it. Mm. Palmistry is chiromancy.
Yeah.
Mancy's all over the place.
But that earliest evidence comes from an anonymous manuscript from around the year 1750.
I was so drunk I forgot to sign it. How dumb.
I don't think that's true. That doesn't feel true to me. But, you know, choose your own adventure on that one. It documents rudimentary divinatory meanings for the cards of the Tarocco Bolognese.
Yeah, Italian again.
Yeah, the popularization of esoteric tarot started with the Antoine Court and Jean-Baptiste Ayet. I actually looked that one up.
Nice.
In Paris during the 1780s using the Tarot of Marseille.
Nice.
And that's spelled M-A-R-S-E-I-L-L-E-S. French tarot players abandoned the Marseille tarot in favor of the Tarot Nouveau around 1900, with the result that the Marseille pattern is now used mostly by cartomancers. So there you go. Ayet was the first to issue a deck specifically designed for occult purposes around 1789. Where do you think he got that idea from?
Who was it? Who could it possibly be? Was it? Oh, I don't know. Say it.
I think that fits, right?
Has to. Well, if you add up all the numbers in 1789, you actually get...
Divide them by something that I'm not familiar with at the moment.
666.
The 666
Sorry,
deck.
I just like the idea of adding four numbers up and getting 666.
Four numbers. So the 78-card deck used by esotericists has two distinct parts. The major arcana, or greater secrets, or trump cards, and it consists of 22 cards without suits.
The business casual cards.
Yes.
The magician, the high priestess, the empress, the emperor, the hierophant, the lovers, the chariot, strength, the hermit, wheel of fortune, justice, the hanged man, death, temperance, the devil, jeopardy, the tower, the star, the moon, no whammies, the sun, judgment, the world, three-card Monty, and the fool.
This is tarot.
Tarot.
Cards from the magician to the world are numbered in Roman numerals from I to XXI. The fool is only the only unnumbered card, so there's no number. And sometimes placed at the beginning of the deck as zero or at the end as XXII. Then we got the minor arcana, or lesser secrets. It consists of 56 cards divided into four suits of 14 cards. What do we got in there?
There's 10 numbered cards, four court cards. The court cards are your king, queen, knight, and page or jack in each of the four tarot suits. And the traditional Italian tarot suits are swords, batons, coins, and cups. In modern occult tarot decks, however, the batons is often called wands or rods or staves, while the coins is often called pentacles or discs.
Mm-hmm.
These are the little circles with the star in them. If you turn them upside down, they're pentagrams.
Yep.
They're pentacle. Bad. Turn them right side up, they're pentacles. Good.
Mm-hmm. It's like a horseshoe. Are you catching your luck or are you dumping your luck? You got to which way you move.
Good call.
Speaking of the occult, buzzword points here. Drum roll, please. Ooh. Aleister Crowley. He devised the Thoth deck, which you have a version of.
In my hand.
Yeah, along with Rita Harris. He stated what of tarot? What do you have to say?
Oh, let's see. Let's get an Aleister Crowley going.
The origin of this pack of cards is very obscure. Some authorities stick to put it back as far as the ancient Egyptian mysteries. Others try to bring it forward as late as the 15th or even the 16th century.
What are you, 16? 16 and a half century?
The only theory of ultimate interest about the tarot is that an admirable symbolic picture of the universe based on the data of the Holy Kabbalah.
Then he fucked a ghost sheep and set someone on fire or some shit like that because, you know,
yeah,
Aleister Crowley. let's have that ghost orgy of blood real quick and then we can get into it. So we talked about the suits. And ghost orgies of blood. So we got the wands for suit. Lots of different names that you can have of the wands. Associated with the element fire, suit is often pertains to creativity, action, passion, energy, sexuality, or determination. Then we got cups. Cups is suited with the element of water. It often pertains to our emotional lives, love, relationships, feelings, intuition, and spirituality. Swords is associated with the element of air. It's an intellectually driven suit and often pertains to power, change, and conflict, thoughts, words, actions, blah, 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 blah. Then we're going to go with the name Pentacles because that one's fun. Pentacles, also called a myriad of other things, coins and everything. It's associated with the earth element, the material world or material aspects, including work, finance, and home.
And Madonna.
Living in a pentacle world. and she's done some tentacle, not to be outdone by pentacle movies, I'm sure. So many rules. When we had the people on before, they talked about some of the rules that you're supposed to have. If you're going to have your deck, you need to charge your decks, put them in the moonlight or things like this. Some people believe that a deck that you get is not a good deck. It should have cards from multiple different decks. So they have like a basic size.
What?
They trade decks from all different kinds of decks. And actually, I was looking this up. You can go to Etsy and you can people trade cards and they have here's a deck of 78 cards from 56 different decks.
That's wild.
And they put them together so that they're all, so it's not just one person's energy or one deck's energy in there. It covers the gamut. I kind of like that idea.
Boy, that's the opposite of what I've heard. I've always heard that you keep one deck the same and it's got your energy, your signature on it, or at least when you shuffle it.
When you shuffle, so then you get that. Maybe that's working with that one, but in the beginning, I guess, I don't know.
That's so weird. It seems like that would scatter energy to me more than anything. But also I've heard that it's best to receive a deck as a gift as opposed to buying one for yourself.
Oh, shit. Well, I got two decks. I think I bought them both, so I've messed up.
Mine was a gift from an ex-girlfriend, so it's positive and negative.
So yours is the Thoth one. I have the Smith-Waite tarot deck.
Yeah.
Centennial edition, whatever that means. And I have the Wild Unknown, Kim Kranz deck.
I mean, it's a great vessel for art.
It's Wild Unknown one is gorgeous. Cards are just gorgeous.
Yeah. And the Thoth deck is just amazing. I love the art on these cards. And I think it's a great outlet for creativity for folks too. Just, mm-hmm. To be creative with what these arcana mean to them. And it's really that might be my favorite aspect about the whole tarot thing.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, so my Smith-Waite deck, if you can, it's in a metal tin, and it is the size of what you would think playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's exact, if I had bicycle or any of those playing cards in there, they would be the exact same size. Now, the other deck I have, Wild Unknown, it's the larger of what I think of tarot when I think of tarot cards, big ones. And I wonder if this is if there is a agreed upon size or something like that. I don't know.
There might be, yeah. Or at least what they would consider standard. Cause
right. Yeah. Standard. That's, have, you like, know,
mini. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mini cards. And the Thoth deck that I've got is bigger than a Walmart. No, I'm, it's,
you
bigger
know,
than
this thing
a,
was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
He's quick on the trigger.
It's bigger than playing cards, but not like huge, goofy, oversized.
I'd buy that for $1.
Of course not. Of course. David, question. Why do you think people love having their fortune read so much? Why is this something that caught on? And we're still, you know, this is the second time we've talked about it on this show alone.
They are. Okay. So having your fortune read, there are tons of reasons for why people would do this. And one thing is that we're just living in a fucking hellscape and we're just looking for some kind of guidance at all to help us process all this bullshit that's going on.
Yeah. And that's an eternal thing. It doesn't mean even like now, the world is always out to get you. It feels like whether it is or not.
It is.
And I kind of like that idea of, well, maybe this will allow you to at least find your way or something like
that. Yeah. Yeah. Now, there are people that go into it specifically looking for directions.
Yeah.
I have a choice to make. I don't want to make that choice because I don't know, you know, for X number of reasons. This will do it for me and I can blame this if it goes wrong or whatever. There's a little bit to be said about people who hear this kind of stuff and helps them think about things differently and get some perspective on their situation. And it gets really hairy, but in terms of like grief or processing things or moving on from, you know, bad or troubling situations, mm-hmm. things like this can help them process and get over that stuff. Is it the best way to do it? Is it ethical? Is it moral? Those are real big questions, and there is, you know, something to be said about it. But
it's kind of like when we looked into hypnosis. It can be a fantastic tool. It can also be exploited.
Sure.
So's McDonald's, you know, so that's the world we live in, you know. Everything's good in moderation, and it can be exploited by other people. So I think that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, but for people who are desirous of getting readings and what to do with them, you know, there's a myriad of reasons. It's just all over the place, and sometimes it's just for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the big question is there anything to this? Well, maybe. It all depends on what you want to believe, like you were just saying. There's no harm in having some fun unless you go down the rabbit hole and your parents, you know, send you to like reprogramming camp. But there are a few ways it could work. We touched on this in the previous episode, but it's been years and I want to go over these because they are worth mentioning. These are the official ways they say that different people believe that this works or doesn't work. And the reason, the first one's game theory. This explanation says that there is nothing in the least supernatural or mysterious about performing a tarot reading, but it is nonetheless valuable, kind of like what we are saying. Mm-hmm. The basic idea is that cards are randomly dealt and appear in a totally random order. However, the action of interpreting them is the useful and meaningful part. The effort required to fit the random cards into a meaningful pattern forces a reader to think outside of their normal, normal mindset, and can lead to fresh ideas, insights, and may force their intuition to begin solving problems in new and interesting ways. You got someone looking at what's going on in your life and giving you an outsider's opinion that maybe you haven't thought about.
And I actually like that, you know, like it's one of those things where you're too close to the problem. You need an outside perspective.
Yeah.
And this could help achieve that and at least get you thinking of ways, not necessarily telling the future or telling you exactly what to do, but it's giving you other things to think about.
Right. And it also says, although there's nothing meaningful about the layout of the tarot cards, the effort of trying to find meaning helps us gain better and more original insight in our problems. This game theory interpretation does little suggest why another person would be able to read for you successfully. That's all in your mind and how you interpret it. Then we got synchronicity. This is the idea that Carl Jung, we've mentioned him 1,000 times and everything, was a big fan in. He was one of the fathers of modern day psychology. He suggested that as well as causality, the idea that every event occurs as a result of a specific cause, there's another reason why events occur, synchronicity.
Hillier goblins.
Shoot it, I want to see it tumble, Paul. In some ways, synchronicity is a posh way of saying by coincidence. But the implication is that, as well as being shaped by random chance, there are occasionally meaningful coincidences, that is, events that appear to happen purely by chance, but carry some meaning for the person to whom they occur. Okay, so that means there's some guiding force. So by using an elaborate system, like laying out a tarot spread, Carl himself used to work exclusively or extensively with the I Ching, we are invoking synchronicity in our lives, and the cards will just happen to have arranged themselves in an order which tells us something useful about ourselves or the questions we have asked. All that is relying on an outside force, if that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you done an I Ching episode?
No.
That would be one to do. It's a fun one, too.
Maoism, the Taoism, the I Ching and chess.
Yeah. Thank you, Monty.
Thank you, Monty.
Yeah, it's funny to call them meaningful coincidences. I mean, it's not so much, well, I don't know. To me, it's whatever the person interprets it, and if it's meaningful to them, it's not necessarily indicative of an outside force,
right?
That has some meaning. That's like, ooh, and here's some sprinkled here, and here's some meaning sprinkled there.
Yeah.
Ooh, did you pick up on that?
Yeah, it's a choose your adventure on that one.
Yeah.
Subconscious influence. This is the suggestion that our subconscious minds are more powerful than we usually give them credit for being. Different areas of psychic study credit the subconscious mind with a whole shit ton of powers and abilities, of which we are generally unaware. As an explanation for tarot, it is usually supposed that in some way the subconscious mind knows the order of the tarot cards and, through the shuffle, reorders them so that they will lay out in an order which conveys a useful meaning to the person performing the spread, based on insights that the subconscious mind has presumably already had.
Good luck proving that one.
U.S. government spent a lot of fucking money and many, many years trying to prove this stuff with, like, the Ministair goats and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there is enough thoughts with it to look into it and spend a lot of money. How far they got, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to swallow.
Well, I mean, how is your mind going to know the order? I don't know. This one smells a little bit of the God of the Gaps for me, where if we don't have an explanation for it, it's God.
I feel like your chakras are all out of line here.
Oh, maybe, but Reiki me over the coals. But if there's something that we can't explain, the go-to for human history is God did it. And once we were able to explain that,
God didn't do that. You did that.
It wasn't God.
Goddamn narcotics agent.
it wasn't God, but God did the rest that we don't know. And every time that gap shrinks, so too does God's influence, right? And that's known as the God of the Gaps. This one's funny, but because Carl Jung was super into the subconscious,
mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm kind of surprised. This one to me is kind of the second flavor of the Carl Jung Neapolitan ice cream. Because he's talking about the collective unconscious. He's talking about archetypes.
This one at least says that you're the one doing it. His was just like, it's out there. We don't know what did it, but something had power over it.
It's sort of both. Like, it's out there, but everybody has experienced it, and mm-hmm. so everybody knows it subconsciously and therefore is manifesting it. So,
right.
Yeah, tack that one on to Carl's, like, slap him on the back with a sign that says, kick me, I'm subconscious. Something like that. Anyway, what's our last one, Brent?
Well, no, we got two more, my friend.
Oh, what's our second? What's our penultimate one,
Brent? Well, next one is magic, and that K on the end is you could choose to use C or K. It's another topic we've covered on here. It's its own episode. Generally, magic means to make events occur in conformity to your own will. In this case, the will of the reader is that the cards will arrange themselves in a meaningful way in order to reveal something useful. The magical explanation is it's simple, that it's focus intent is enough to make the cards arrange themselves in a useful way. This involves accepting as an explanation that, wait for it, magic is real.
What?
The universe really does respond and change according to the will of an individual.
Ugh.
And all that shit is just, it's, well, it would be beyond the lay people, but you also have subconsciously can manifest it, I guess. Kind of feels like it goes along with the others, just gives it a name.
Yeah. I mean, this is, this could be the third flavor in the ice cream, but if it were true, wouldn't you and I have our own television show right now?
Right.
Be sipping, I don't know, bourbon, old fashions on
a Mai Tai. I will enjoy it.
I was going to say Mai Tai, and I was like, I don't think I like Mai Tais. I go with a man's drink.
Well, speaking of a man's drink, we're going to end on a man's explanation. You ready for it?
I guess that's not very inclusive these days. Anybody can enjoy whiskey and should.
All right, our final one, it's Pixies.
This one is my fucking favorite by far because it seems the most plausible.
Exactly. I hope you got your knickers on tight here, David, because get ready for it. Invisible Pixies take hold of the cards as you shuffle them and arrange them in the right order, then whisper the true meanings of them into the ear of the reader. This one is the weirdest fucking one because literally there are invisible pixies that I hope to God are real.
Me too.
That are going to be floating around telling us what to do and magically moving things. Doesn't this one just, don't you want it to be the truth?
Oh, yeah. I would love to. You could blame these little assholes for stuff.
And that they have a good band.
Like a lot of work for them, to be honest.
Yeah. That's the lowly job. They get, after that, then they get bumped up to Tooth Fairy, you know, and then if they work real hard, they can get on to Santa's Helper Workshop, and it's a whole grind.
And when they die, they get cremated and get turned into pixie sticks.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Oh, God, that's the stuff right there.
Woo!
Oh, man. Has he got a cocaine problem? Worse, the dust.
He's a pee man.
We're doing this episode different than most because we usually do like deep dives, which we've given you a lot of information on it, but not this week. We are deep diving in feet first and doing our own tarot readings on the show. We're going to do that. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to find stuff out. Maybe it's time to learn who dies first. I don't know. We're going to find out next on Hysteria 51.
It's David. Brent has to watch. We have talked about this. Do you even pay attention?
I've got it on my calendar.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're gonna die.
Time to fuck shit up. Quick points to mention. I got this off of, I believe it was tarot.com.
I was going to ask you if the Pixies was from tarot.com. Too.
Before a reading occurs, the person receiving the reading shuffles the cards. Now, we're not going to be able to do that, so you're going to tell us, we'll tell each other when to stop. All right?
Okay.
Because we won't be able to do that. Some say this transfers the person's energy into the deck. Some people say it's nonsense. Yeah. Once the cards are shuffled and the deck has been cut, the reader lays out the cards in a pattern called the spread.
Tarot.com.
Each position of the spread has a meaning, and there are many different types of spreads, ranging from those that incorporate a single card to one that has all 78 butter. Fucking cards in the deck, and you're in for the long haul. Which spread is used up to the reader, the specific type of questions, or the reading, that's all up to the reader. Boom, you got a reading. That's how you do it.
Yeah, Now, do you think, so I'm guessing the best way to do it would be to shuffle our own and lay them out, and then the other person,
like, oh, we could do that. Them? Yeah, okay. Well, here, I've got my cards in hand. All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to shuffle.
Sure. Okay, well, here's the thing. We didn't really talk about the layouts. for stuff.
Let's do an easy one. Let's do the 3-card for each.
I like that.
That yeah. is, then we just have to kind of figure out what the cards mean and go from there. There's the cross, I Ching, there's the, you know, there's all these different things.
Sorry, this is...
No, please, we're supposed to be shuffling. I'm doing the old, just flip through shuffle here. Hold on.
One popular one, I forgot if we mentioned it or not. One popular, layout is the, cause it's called the Celtic Cross. Mm-hmm. You get, 5 cards, in the middle and mm-hmm. hang on. No, you get 6 cards, it kind of right in front of you and then 4 cards more to the side and they all correspond to different positions and things like present stuff, immediate influences, questioner's life, past influences, feelings, hopes, and fears, things like that. So mm-hmm. that's a really in-depth. The Celtic Cross is a very popular one to use because it kind of goes in-depth. The other, I think, popular spread is the 3-card spread, which is what we'll be using for, you know, expediency's sake, and that's just past, present, and future.
Yeah.
Super easy.
So I've got mine out. Now I need to cut the deck, right? I cut it and put it back together?
Yes. Yes.
And then I pick at random 3 cards from it and turn them over.
Now, let me ask you this. There's also the way to read where you shuffle it up to where cards are upside down. So if you draw one that's upside down, that's the opposite of what it means.
Oh.
Do you do
all
do that
these are the or? Same way?
I didn't You've even got yours all the same way. I mean, it's fine.
All these are the same way, I think. So okay. if it does show up that way, well, the Pixies had other things in mind. So I'm just fanning my cards out now.
Okay.
I'm actually going to take the top card. I don't even know if it matters. I'm going to take one from the middle.
Do one at a time, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not turning them over. I can't see
them. Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine.
And I took... So I did something interesting. I did the very top card, the very middle card, and the very bottom card-ish, okay. I think. So I've got 3 cards.
This is interesting. I've got notes from old readings in this book.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Huh. Okay. I got my ready to go. All right. So you want me to turn over my first card?
Let's turn over your past. Let's see what your past has.
Fuck, it's upside down. Wait, they might all have been. No, not. My past is upside down.
Well, if they're all upside down, then...
I got the... Nope, I don't think they're going to be because I just flipped... I just picked one up and I don't know what it is. I don't know. We'll see. I'll look to see if they're upside down. They are not all upside down.
They're not all upside down. So you want the reading that says it could be the opposite?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So the past, what'd you get?
I got the 4 of cups.
The 4 of cups. Oh, Jesus. I turned right to it. That's weird.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Pixies. Oh, now we're all going to. And then they died.
So the 4 of cups, upside down, right?
Yes.
For your past, so in my interpretation book here, it says discontent, dissatisfaction, and boredom. So... If we take the opposite of that, it means you have a very interesting, satisfied, and content past. It says this is the card of divine discontent, and describes a situation in which, for various reasons, there's an inability to appreciate what we have. But it sounds like, if it's upside down, you have been able to appreciate what you've had in the past. And 4 of cups overflowing with good things may be depicted, but our inherent dissatisfaction with life prevents us from appreciating them. Again, I think it sounds like maybe in your past you were okay with what you had and knew how to enjoy it. The 4 of cups depicts a state of boredom or apathy in which we are too preoccupied to appreciate the good things that surround us. Opportunities are there for the taking, but our inertia prevents us from seeing them. So when this card appears in a spread, you're being asked to adopt a fresh approach to life and to reevaluate your position. Now, this is in the past, so that's not something you can do. But again, if it's upside down, we're taking the opposite approach to it. This is a good thing. So I guess, you know, you've been able to appreciate what you've had. You've been able to reach for the ambitions that you want in life. And it has brought you to your present then. We'll do all the cards and then we'll discuss what you think about them.
All right. So number two?
Number two, the present.
So the present is also an upside down. And it is, hell, I don't know what it is. How do I know what it is? The three of, it sticks tied together. It doesn't say.
Probably three wands, of wands.
Three of wands. Yep, three of wands. Upside down.
Upside down, three of wands. So for your present, right side up, it would be completion of the first stage and optimism. Let's see, the inspirational energy of the Ace of Wands and the setting in motion of the two is fulfilled in the Three of Wands. This card marks the initial completion of whatever was stated with the Ace, although it suggests there is much work to do. It symbolizes new possibilities. Although we may have realized a dream, we become aware that there is even farther to travel. Boy, Brent, this one sounded to me like you are stuck. This, you have achieved stuff. You're kind of in a certain place. It's looking pessimistic. Exciting new opportunities of which we may not previously have been aware are now opening up, and we are ready to continue with what was set in motion.
So nothing is opening up.
It sounds like mimosas. It sounds like momentum has been arrested a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The card represents strength and determination that are needed to persevere with our goals. It indicates that we must remain focused. So maybe it's that, well, let me read the interpretation part and then I'll interpret. It indicates you are full of creative ideas. You may be embarking on a fresh career or way of life, feel optimistic, although you may need to bide your time temporarily. This is not a time to rest on your laurels. However, as there is still much to do, no matter how far you've come, the Three of Wands indicates that there's much more to accomplish. So you're missing satisfaction, and you are in need of new ideas, and you're in need of a new path forward, a new way to go, and you need to find optimism again.
Sounds like you need to find a new co-host.
Oh,
boy, it couldn't have come at a better time. Jeez, yeah. Right. And David, you just turned over, a pink slip. You're fired, bitch.
That's the damnedest thing. All right. Last one. Turning it over. This one is right side up. Oh, it's the devil.
The devil. Straight up the devil.
It's got a goat with a pentagram on its forehead.
Okay. All right. The devil. This is for your future. Frustrations, inhibitions, blocks, and fears. The devil represents the wild and uncivilized aspects of our psyches that we normally tend to repress. We often fear and feel ashamed of these hidden parts of our nature, such as lust, greed, and envy, and choose to disown them. Carl Jung likened these characteristics to what he termed the shadow or darker self. The fact that we are so uncomfortable with our base nature means that we frequently project it onto other people so that we do not have to deal with it ourselves. This tends to wreak havoc in our lives and cause more problems than if we dare openly to acknowledge all of what we are. So when we are able to unblock the parts of our psyche that we find unpalatable, a huge amount of positive energy is released. The devil teaches us to recognize and integrate all aspects of our nature, both the dark and the light. He is a reminder that we are all made up of good and bad. If we can accept our human failings, we are likely to be more tolerant of others and ourselves and not project blame. So, in interpreting it, it suggests you're likely to meet the darker side of your nature in your future. You might find yourself in an oppressive situation with a new co-host in which you feel trapped. Rather than projecting your discomfort outward, you may have to face up to something you find unpleasant about yourself and make it more conscious. Although this is unlikely to be a comfortable experience, it'll give you new insights into yourself and release any repressed negativity that is inhibiting you. This is, it's one of those things, and they never, you know, they always say with the tarot, getting the devil, the death, whatever, it's not a bad thing. It's just a different way of looking at things and to think about, you know, this is it's an antagonist. So for your future, there's blockages there, but I think they're created of your own volition. Whatever mm-hmm. is blocking you is coming from within you. You need to address it. You need to face your fears. And then you will have this release of energy going forward that will allow you to take yourself and whatever, you know, this is for in a better direction and a more positive path. That's what I'd say.
Knowing myself, I'm surprised I didn't get the devil, a rules of poker, and a wild draw four card.
A reverse.
Reverse. Skip. Just a skip. How'd that get in there?
Yeah.
Pixies.
So what do you think? That's your past, present. It sounds like the past.
My past was good. My future is going to be messed up unless I take charge.
Yeah, like it seems like you were more satisfied in the past. You knew what you were doing and enjoyed it. The present's kind of gotten you in a little bit of a rut, and for the future, you'll stay that way unless you can address things within yourself and grow and get rid of those blockages.
That sounds like work, so we're staying where we are. So now that was interesting. You know, I didn't even know I was depressed, but now I do.
Do you feel like your past, was that an accurate depiction?
I mean, who's actually looked at their past and goes, I was so happy. So I'm on all of it, you know, but yeah, it could be, you know, unless my future turns to real shit. And then you're like, oh man, it was spot on.
Yeah. Then it's like, dude. Time to take a look in the mirror.
Son of a buck. Anyway. All right, let's do you. What you got? You got your shuffled up?
Let me get my...
Shovel up and deal. So what's this mean? I've reshuffled and laid them out four times and I've got the same three cards. I'm joking.
It means you got a trick deck. The Pixies hate you. I'm going to do a slight bridge shuffle just so I get them upside down. I'll do it a couple just to
get them. Yeah, I did that. I was doing a bridge shuffle too, so of course they were all upside down in this way and that way.
Yeah.
Probably better.
I don't know. I like that.
Spread them out on a table and waller them all around and stuff like some people do.
I like having upside down cards and saying, you know, this is the, because you, it basically doubles your reading.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doubles the possibilities.
Yeah.
All right. Let me cut it. I should do the old cut. Here we go. All right. First card, down. Next card. I'm just picking at random from the middle.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. I have selected them.
Okay.
And they're all right side up, it looks like, from the back of them.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Past card is the Six of Discs.
Okay. Give me a second here.
Six of Pentacles.
The Six of Pentacles right side up. All right. It says here. It stands for generosity, charity, community, material help, support, sharing, giving, and receiving, and gratitude. When it's right side up, the Six of Pentacles means that you are in a position where you have a good relationship with your income, like the main figure in the card. The amount of money that you bring in and your expenses are balanced well, and you're fortunate, or I guess in your past, you were fortunate enough to not have any stress. You were also grateful that all that you own and can happily share with your wealth with others. As you can tell from the imagery in the card, the Six of Pentacles can be about charity. You can either be the man giving away the money to the needy or a beggar gratefully receiving from the wealthy donor. If the card is showing your giver, you have built up wealth. If you need it, you know, it's going to be there for you. If the card is showing your the beggar, it could be receiving someone else's charity. This could also help you recover So take the help in the past, or you've received help in the past, I guess. And you should repay that kindness in the future.
If
you
were the, paid them off, baby.
There you go.
I did have a day job that paid okay in the past. Wasn't great, but you know, I was able to, I don't know, yeah, take my parents out to dinner. So I guess that's charity.
Yeah. There could have been in the past someone that helped you at work achieve a goal, or you know, you learned from love, things like that.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Mm-hmm. Number dose, please.
All right, for my present. Ooh.
I know that sound. He got the lust card in the Thoth deck.
Okay, so this, yours is the Thoth. So it says the lust Thoth, the Crowley arrow. It says, so purpose, joy in life, initiation, the transformation of sensuality, changing the nature of the animal through acceptance to which is full of love, strength, power, and vitality. The shadow could be, if it was upside down, weakness, incomplete, disappointed, aggression, perversion, and addiction, blah, blah, blah.
Hell yeah, baby. I'm healthily lustily. This is, in regular decks, I think this is the strength card.
Okay, so let me see. What this means is, it shows you have inner strength and fortitude during moments of danger and distress. Shows you have the ability to remain calm and strong even when your life is going through immense struggle. It also shows that you are a compassionate person and you always have time for others, even if it's at your own expense. Getting a strength card or the other means that you're a very patient individual who is likely to accomplish anything they put their mind to. Your resilience will greatly aid you, and your fearlessness means that you should have no issue speaking your mind. This card can also indicate the kind of compassion will always be rewarded with having a lot of stability in your life, either presently or in the near future. So upright, depending on, it says confidence, drawing lovers, strong, caring relationships, self-mastery at work, bold career moves, taking big steps, and large purchases and controlled spending are under control. So sounds like that's actually a really good card to get. It means like you're kind of, you know, you're in control of your life.
I'm flying the plane.
Not allowing yourself to make huge purchases and stuff because you got your head on your shoulders. And
tell that to Sam's Club the other day.
Uh-oh. Why do I need 4 giant trampolines? I don't know, but I wanted them. So yeah, yours, that's a good card.
Cool. Okay. I am the captain now.
Look at me.
The art on this is depicting, I'm pretty sure this is the Whore of Babylon. So that's pretty cool. All right. Sweet. Ready for the future?
Yep.
It is the 2 of Wands.
All right. So the 2 of Wands.
You had the 3 of Wands. So yep. That's interesting.
Yep. The 2 of Wands upright. Planning first steps, making decisions, leaving comfort, and taking risks. Is what it stands for. The 2 of Wands is a more mature version of the Ace of Wands, meaning that this card is all about planning and moving forward and progression. Look at it this way. You have already set out to achieve a particular task, which means you have turned an idea into a realistic plan. Such a plan will require fulfillment, and therefore you have to progress from just having the plan to actually achieving what you set out for. Discovery is being considered as another 2 of Wands meaning. This is because it means that you are stepping out of your cocoon and exploring new experiences and worlds. While the beginning might seem tough and difficult, the 2 of Wands card encourages you to strive on and to push forward.
Mm.
For love, it's setting up romantic goals, making plans in love, planning future goals. For career, it's planning your career, taking first steps in your career, and envisioning dreams. And for finance, planning your long-term financial future and laying foundations to achieve that—that's pretty cool.
We
had very different readings.
Future card, right?
Yeah, we had very different readings.
Isn't that weird? Yeah,
you peaked in high school, and I'm doing real well. That was the takeaway. That's my takeaway from today's readings.
your plane's engines are on fire. Mine are like on autopilot, and it's encouraging me to just jump out and parachute just for fun.
Well, hopefully I'm that guy calling the tower and they're like, we can talk you into landing. It's fine.
Yeah. Ugh. It's up to you. You got to be the one to make the call, Brent. You got to call the tower yourself.
Right? You're right. That's exactly the takeaway. Well, thank you, Pixies. I'd love to hear, Nation, if you guys have had any of these. Did they come true, or were they just way off base? And or is this all the work of the devil, and we're all stupid for even playing around with it? What are your thoughts? What are your hopes, dreams, and desires? You can tell us. I go on to Facebook.com and searching Hysteria Nation. That's our Facebook discussion group. Also on there, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's our regular page. Patreon. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. Up all nights, mad blurry hysterias, blurry hysterias, lots of radio dramas. Every week we are putting out our blurry hysterias ad-free on there before they're available on the regular feed. So make sure you check that out. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And get them in. Get yourself out for David, because we do have a voicemail episode coming up very soon.
Heck yeah.
Also, go to our website, hysteria51.com, and you can leave us a voicemail through there. Just click on the microphone and get to yakking. While we're yakking, what's going on in your neck of the woods, oh Colorado-bound sir?
We have begun the Miss Cryptid contest, Contest of Champions.
Yes.
So that is in full force. Make sure to go over there. You have a chance to win a prize pack.
Well, they have a chance. I don't. All my prizes were in the past.
So, check that out. Lots of stuff. May's a super busy month. I'll be performing some improv and stuff around here, and doing some trivia. Like, everything's going on. This plane is I'm navigating the turbulence, let's say.
Wait, that's speed buggy. Oh. Sorry. Not the plane, but
the speed buggy. Yeah, zoom, zoom. Four-wheeler. The four-wheeler of the present. We're still working on Shadows in the Desert, so mm-hmm. maybe that's the future plans that are going to come to fruition. I don't know, but we're waiting on the second cut of it from our editor.
Nice.
And hopefully, we're hoping it'll be good enough to where we'll just have to do really fine detail, you know, cuts and edits after that, and then get that out. But
very cool.
Yeah, it's moving forward. It's
getting excited.
It'll come out. It will come out. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
So that's very what's cool. going on with me.
Well, heck yeah, man. So like I said, guys, if you guys have ever done this, or you know a fun site or anything like that with tarot, let us know. I'd love to hear your stories. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. Or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.